Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. It's Larry. I'm up right now. I just dialed in. Sorry for being a couple minutes late. Ryan and Barry should be joining us momentarily if they jumped on yet.
Hello?
There you go. Ryan's
there. Ryan?
Hi.
Barry, are you on yet? Barry, are you there?
You should be momentarily.
Barry? You on? Okay. We were, it's the second one.
I'm on that.
There you go.
Oh, sorry. What happened? That was weird.
Okay. How are you, sir?
I'm well. I'm well, thank you. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. I can't believe it's been a month since we last spoke. It seems like yesterday, quite frankly.
Yeah,
hold on. Time flies as we all get older. That's true. That's true. Okay, so let's start out. What's on your mind this morning?
How little I've done between the last call and today.
I mean, does that tell us something?
Well, things are going good. We're all super busy. Still bringing in accounts. It's just been, we're guilty. We still have not, Larry did get the board, but we have not begun using it. We're there. We got it sitting here now.
Larry has a whole nice, beautiful game board that, printed up and everything. So, we're ready to go on that.
Okay.
I've got an mastermind meeting on Friday. I got invited to a new group that's getting started, and I actually got invited to a second group as well that's in the infancy stages. This first one's an actual mastermind, like entrepreneurs and helping each other, business owners. The other one is a B&I group that I'm a little hesitant on, so we'll have to see what happens there. I fired a couple clients. It was exciting. I told them they'd be better off consolidating their assets with another advisor. Something along those lines. We're fine.
Not all is bad. We did do some things. We are moving forward. All of us have set more appointments. All of us have tried to streamline a little bit more. All of us, knock on wood, have been busy with new accounts. I will say so we all have grown. We haven't grown, or we haven't really stuck to the game board as much as we need to or as much as we want to, but we all have either mastermind groups, center of influences, that we're working with and trying to do that. One of the things that we need to do, and hopefully in the next month, and before we go on vacation, before we do everything else, but one of the things that we hope to do is we need to quantify what we're doing, the activities that we're doing, so that we can ultimately bring more structure, but ultimately be able to see what we're doing and getting positive or tangible results as opposed to doing and not getting tangible results from there. So where we're wasting time and where we're not wasting time. But that will happen.
Yeah. Think of it as you guys are running, think of yourselves as this part of your business as kind of a science lab, right? And you're running experiments to see what works and what doesn't work. What you're doing everything but quantifying what it is that you're doing. So you would not pass FDA, but you're doing it. I mean, you're doing it. You're doing it intuitively. So what we want to do, Larry Wilson used to call it going from unconsciously competent to consciously competent. So it means that you have to, as you say, quantify what it is that you're doing so that you can replicate the things that are working and stop doing the things that aren't working.
Yeah.
And you have to give them enough, but keep in mind that this is not cold calling, all right? So this is, these strategies take time to work. But once they work, they will produce results for you. And it's really interesting. I've been on this island here in Boca Grande for since 2000. God, it's 18 years, right? I've been retired since 2006. I've just now been asked to be on the board of one of the charter school here. And it's an interesting ask because it's not a big deal. I'm on the foundation board. It's only 8.8 million or something. But the people that are on it are the people that move and run everything on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once you're on one board, they want me to be the chairman now. So I'm looking around this island for other people kind of my age that would be good to be on this board, right? And most of them are incredibly successful, incredibly interesting, but they're busy. But on this island, there's lots of ways to meet them, but to meet them on the board is different. You know, this guy, and I don't want to go on and on. You guys get it. I mean, the idea is that I've been given invitations now to things, personal things that I wouldn't have gotten the invitations for before this.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, we bought a place in Ireland, and the guy Tinsley, Dennis Tinsley's on the board. He said, "Oh, while you're there." You know, it's his place. He donated it to the Island Women's Club and Gala. And he said, while you're there, we'll play golf. We've got three private clubs. Somebody said he owns the entire peninsula. Okay, over there. So it's just access to people that you wouldn't have. Now that doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it took a long time to get to this position, you know.
You can.
But you have to do it consciously. You know, you have to make friends. The reason I was asked to the board is because I went to another thing, and it was for the school when I gave some money. You know, stepped up and gave some money, and they just appreciated it. So they say, "Oh, must be a player, okay?" And then you're invited on the board, and then you're invited to this. So.
Just out of curiosity, Rob, would you mind, like, how much money do you have to give to get noticed? Is it $5,000?
It's interesting. I gave $20,000, but $5,000 over what, 4 years, right? Or 5 years. Yeah, five years. So it's
$5,000 a year, okay.
$5,000 a year. But not a huge amount, but it was enough, I guess, to get somebody's attention. And not, I mean, they raised $4 million in like a year, okay, for this little foundation board. So it's a joke. You know, what I gave was a joke compared to what they raised, but I think it's the fact that I'm younger, younger than them. The guys going off are 87, you know.
You're going at night.
Right. No kidding. I mean, it's a riot. But you'll find the same thing, you know. If you can get into this crowd, they'll be just appreciative for the fact that you are not, you know, that you can, you're still playing golf, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, it's an interesting, so but tracking it, whatever you can't manage what you don't measure, right? So you do, if you can measure it, you're going to be more conscious of it. You're going to see it. And so it doesn't take 20 minutes. Once a week, you guys get together and have this kind of a meeting and say, okay, how did you do last week in all the categories? Right? Well, you know, great. I had this meeting, I had that meeting. And did you learn anything? You know, what did you learn from it? You know, it's more important for you guys to learn from each other doing this stuff than anything that I can teach you. Because it's very specific. I mean, you can give me cases, and we can talk about casework, but we can only cover like one or two, right?
What do you guys think we need to have a week?
You should have a the game board meeting is really a growth meeting, right? It's all about activity, and all I want you to measure in that one is the activity. Like you said, I'm going to have a meeting with a, I have a meeting with a mastermind group. I have a meeting to form a mastermind group. I'm meeting with a center of influence. So you put up there on the game board the activities that you're going to be engaged in. All right? So I've got a board. And give yourself credit if you have a board meeting. Right? That's an activity. If you ask for an introduction, that's an activity. If you use the VISTA process, that's an activity. If you get on LinkedIn and you make some comments or you post something, that's an activity. Some are more important than others, clearly. Some take longer than others.
Right.
The centers of influence are probably the most direct way of getting the most business leads. So you want to have more of them than anything else. The mastermind groups are kind of like a supercharged center of influence meeting.
Center of influence, I'm running into a little situation that my CPA is a very nice gentleman. He's 74 years old. I'm going fishing with him actually down in Chokoloskee next Friday for his birthday. We're very close. He does my taxes. We are at his house. We do stuff together a lot. He's not very sophisticated. He has been a poker a long time.
So did you give that with you? Does he do business with you?
Yes.
Okay. That's a important criteria.
Yes, he does do business with us. He does not have a great deal of money, and I haven't, quite frankly, because of tax season and everything else, I haven't even gone through putting him in the quarterly thing and taking him through his own personal account to what I need to do as far as run through, because he would be more in my mind a quarterly meeting as opposed to a monthly meeting. But maybe I should do a monthly meeting and see if I can just spend more time with him one-on-one.
I mean, I would just see, before you discount him,
right?
I mean, ask him what's his minimum? What's his specialty? What is he, at 74, he probably is, what's his succession plan?
His son works with him. And Barry uses his son, actually.
Yeah, and actually, one of the problems that I was going to say, Larry, as I was telling this to Christine before, they are technologically refusing to advance themselves, right? He actually works with one of our biggest clients that we gave him, and like, he told us he couldn't get the tax forms via secured email And that's what created that whole problem, Ryan, with what's her name's daughter. Now, it's just, he won't even get it, take the security email. Refuses. He wants his fax and this and that, and it's just not with the times.
So you gotta
either fix Rob. So guys, what's the answer?
Fire him.
You pulled the Rob. There you go.
So what you're telling me is this guy's not willing to do what you want to do, and not willing to get on the supernova. Yeah.
I like them, as Larry does. They're good guys. I just can't, like, and I'm not the client away from him. I just feel like he's making our life difficult because he had to do it, like, 3 times. He couldn't get the email. He said that his filters block any emails like that. And we know it's not true.
There's another way around it. You and I will discuss that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta, I wouldn't abandon him. I just fix him. He just needs some attention. He needs some help. He needs some technology. His son clearly needs some help too, because his son is, I mean, he's going to inherit this business. The son needs to be wake dad up and help. You know, he should be helping him.
The son does have 529s with us. The son does have his account with us. They also work with another advisor that they've known for a while, who used to play at UM. But he's not local. Actually, comes back every month or so from North Carolina. But we'll continue to try to work on that.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about having three, right? You want to have your primary, you want to have one on deck and one in the dugout. The primary you meet with monthly, on deck you meet quarterly, and in the dugout you meet semi-annually.
Okay.
All right, so technically each of you should have three GPAs. And you want one that meets your minimums. I mean, in the sense of his clients are the same clients that you're going after. Not the ones that you used to have, but the ones that you're going to have. Okay, so if his minimum is, you know, if his clients do not have the money and he's just doing family taxes, he's probably not the guy that you want for the future. That doesn't mean occasionally he won't run into a $5 million client, but he's probably not going to be working in the centers that you need to be working in. Okay? So, upgrading everything is part of the game. And don't feel bad about it. I mean, it's what you did with your clientele. It's what you're going to be doing with CPAs, attorneys, and other people. That's why you meet with them. I mean, it isn't just to meet and get them to send you more business. It's to qualify them. Does this guy, is this a good fit for us? Okay. Has he sent you business and it has been qualified business? Good business?
He sent us business in the past that's been anywhere from a half, couple hundred. He sent us some guy. I'm trying to have somebody else or one of our insurance strategic partners kind of work with him or come in and take over.
Okay, so he hasn't really sent you
about $200,000. So he sent us, but, you know, I'm not going to run lead on it. I'll let one of the younger guys run lead on it, and we'll get some
data. All right, so you got an education qualifying situation here. He doesn't have that's an easy solution.
Okay.
Or he doesn't know what your minimum is, and that's an educational problem.
Correct.
Okay, so it's sort of like you guys have to reintroduce yourself to your centers of influence, which you have. You have centers of influence. That's the part we've got to make clear. You have them. The question is, are they the ones you want or need, and will they will they do what you need them to do or have the ability to do it? I mean, just think how many FAs are out there, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you got to, you know, you don't want just any CPA. You need a CPA that's going to work in the circles that you are interested in. So what else about
this path too, yeah. Ryan? You know, I think we need to re-talk to Pat about what we want. You know, Lucy's been a great resource for us as well.
Ryan turned her into a client, which took 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Years.
Kept pushing her away, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that is an education process for us guys, in the sense that we do need to, you know, spend time, go back out, tell people exactly what we're looking for, how we want it to look and smell and feel, and also have the conversation with them. Now, you know, you may have somebody that's got 500,000. That's not that we don't want anything to do with them. We'll help them out, you know. We'll just use somebody that has more time and energy that can help somebody with that level of assets. So that way we're not telling her no to something that they give us, but they're giving us stuff.
I would be very clear, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It makes you look better. You gotta understand that. When you're, you know, you say to her, we're gonna be taking on 4 or 5 new families this year. We'd like those to meet our minimums, which is 5 million. You see, it just changes their frame of reference. It makes you look different, and they start to target you with more important clients. So if you even mention the word 500,000, it throws her off. It would need. What do you mean, 500,000? I thought your minimum was 5 million. What are you talking about? And when you say we're going to take on 4 or 5 new families, that says, okay, limited number, high quality, important relationships. Okay, these guys are serious. They're in a different world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just... Okay, what else? So you need to... What you guys have to do is say your meeting together is as important as any $5 million meeting that you have. Because if you don't meet and spend a half an hour talking about this stuff or an hour, you're losing all your synergy. Okay? So you're all operating independent contractors for a month. It's crazy. So meet every week.
We've had meetings, but not conscious, confident meetings. The consciously confident meetings. We've been having the meetings. Let me ask you a question about.
Yeah, I want you to have these kinds of meetings. See, where you're getting clarity. And you can do that for each. You can do that for each other. You don't need me for that.
So you would be happier with us from Supernova standpoint and from Rob's standpoint. You'd be happier with us if we basically just manage the clients we have right now, like, you know, or you know, continue to call the book, of course. I mean, if we take what we have right now, we institute Supernova across it, and then all of us hit the streets and pound the pavement and do our COI meetings and get in front of those people and bluntly tell them we're no longer taking clients under 2 million or 3 million or whatever number we want to use, but we're looking for families, multi-millionaire families, however we want to say it. Do we tell them 5 million and they call us up and say, hey, will you take 3? Or, you know, what?
Right. Your absolute minimum, according to my notes, is $2 million.
Yes.
Your target is $5 million. Now, you can chase that, but that's what you said you wanted.
Okay, so we now go out, and essentially we are spending the next 9 months rebranding ourselves and meeting new CPAs and forging new relationships and solidifying, figuring out which ones we want to work with and which ones we don't. And then if at the end of this year each of us brings in one new account, then we have $12 million or $15 million in new assets, and that's considered a victory. Would you say that, or is it, if we do all those things and then the referrals we get are, that's the victory?
Here's the point. I don't think you're going to get less numeric. I just think you're going to be fishing in a different pool. You just have to, when you go fishing in the Gulf, in our Gulf, you guys can go out 5 miles and get to 1,000 feet of water. So you don't have to go out very far. Here, I got to go out for 70 miles to get to 150 feet of water. But that's where the really big fish are, right? So it takes a little more time, but I come home with a whole ton of fish. And so that's what you guys have to do. You guys have got to, it's going to take a little more time to get these big relationships with the right centers of influence, with the mastermind group, to get on the right boards. But when you bring in the fish, they're going to be big. And then when you bring them in, you're going to be bringing in the same numbers. It just takes longer to fill the pipeline with bigger numbers. But they'll come. I mean, I had a guy the last 2 years, 1 year he was up 48%, the next year he's up 49%. Okay? Revenue. Okay?
On what day?
So he's a big producer. He's in Coral Gables.
Okay.
Okay. And Abe Horowitz. I mean, he just stood up and gave a testimonial. These guys are growing, right? Because they're fishing in the right pond. And there aren't that many good, really guys that are hunting in that market. There was a lot of people, Northern Trust sitting back waiting, Bessemer Trust sitting back waiting, a lot of people sitting back waiting. There aren't very many people out hustling. So are you going to have to improve some of your skills? Sure. But that's what I'm for, Does it mean that you don't have them? No, it's just a different skill set when you're dealing with somebody with $25 million. You know that.
Yeah.
But they're no different. They don't know anything. A lot of the billionaires, they still don't know anything. But developing these centers of influence in the way that you're going to need to is going to take some skills. So you need to practice those. You need to go out. You need to meet with them. You need to meet with their team. You need to meet with their support staff to know that they can accept emails. And they're going to meet with you. You're going to meet with your team.
And so, I'm not sure if I've asked you this before, but I may be in the market for a new car soon, or a different car, however you want to say it.
Yep.
I'm driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee that's 5 years old. It's a responsible choice and da da da. I mean, it's a nice car. Outwardly it looks nice, but it's a 5-year-old Jeep Grand Cherokee. How important do you feel like cars are and such? I know there's a lot of successful advisors do drive fancy cars. Do you think that I need to get something that
something safe, Ryan? I actually think it doesn't matter. I think you
Let me ask Rob. We can talk about it offline.
You should buy a safe SUV. If you can afford a Mercedes, I love my Mercedes. I've had two of them. I used to have a BMW. I love those. I've got a white SUV, GLK, whatever they call it, 350. I bought my daughter the MLK. You can buy them used off of a lease and get a great deal. I buy it used off of a lease for $30,000. Okay? And that would be what I do. It looks like it's brand new. Nobody ever knows. I bought my SL550, used off of a lease, one owner. I love it. Everybody thinks it's brand new. I take good care of it. So you don't need that car. You need the GLK 5, 350 or the MLK 350 for your kids. You need something with a big back seat. So get the MLK, the MLK 350.
That's what you got, Barry, right?
I have the GLE, but I was just going to say, Ryan, that I think people look at the car you have, but if it looks like a clean, newer car, I don't think that it's not going to drive a Honda SUV and people wouldn't care. It actually might make you responsible.
That's right. But you're right. It just should be clean. That's awful.
Yeah. It's clean, newer looking, not a beat up clunker type car, but I don't think people, I was already going to say, look at what John drives. When we met him, we were all shocked, and the guy could buy the dealership.
John's not a financial advisor, and he's.
No, but you're missing the point though, Ryan. I'm saying people.
Barry, how in the world are you even telling me this after you bought like every luxury car?
I didn't say. You asked a question. Don't look at me.
Coming out of your mouth of all people.
But you asked a question. You didn't say what. Just because I'm giving an opinion doesn't mean I would do it.
Bob, I swear to God, he's owned every brand of luxury car, imaginable in the last, 15 years. He's had, 12 cars 1 year on average,
Some people ride cars.
Rob, I lease them, and I get out, and if I don't like it, or if I decide I see something, I'll put it on Swap-a-Lease, and I'll get rid of it on Swap-a-Lease.
But that's your hobby. That's a hobby. You like cars. You like new cars. So my daughter, she's got that. I bought it for safety. I want my baby, my granddaughter, safe. So buy for safety and make it a pretty car. White is good because people see you. We got a lot of old people around there. So anyway. What else is on your mind?
I think it's just we need to keep moving forward in this process. At the end of the day, I think the biggest thing that we kind of the realization is if we don't take on any new accounts and we rebrand ourselves for the next 9 months and really devote time and energy to putting a focus on what we want it to be and what we want it to look and feel like, that's ultimately what's important for us. That means educating our center of influence. That means setting up meetings, continuing to set up meetings, and to continue to follow through with what we got.
I'll tell you another story. It's a great point. You concentrate on the process, right? If you have the activities, you'll get the results. So concentrate on the process. I have a person down there in Coral Gables, and they were really struggling. And having all kinds of issues. You guys aren't. But I got her to just measure her activity. And I said, you should try and have 8 appointments a week in person. Okay? 5 of those should be new prospects. And so she's been doing that. And that's all she's concentrating on. Doing Supernova with her existing clients, but really trying to get the appointments. And she said, this week, I'm just concentrating on the process. I'm not making judgments. I'm just concentrating on getting the activity. She said, I met with a guy I've been prospecting for like, 4 years, and I wasn't expecting anything. I was just keeping in touch with him. And he brought his brother and his father's account for $2 million. And for her, that's a big account, okay? So it was just keeping in touch, keeping in front, keep the appointments, get the appointments, prospect. So you don't want to just say, okay, the process does not mean just rebranding and meeting with centers of influence. It means activity which generates potentially good new relationships. So I don't want to tell you that just branding yourself and marketing and getting yourself focused is going to satisfy you. It's not. If you don't come out of this with, $40 or $50 million in new assets, you're going to be very disappointed. And so will I. So I want you to meet with centers of influence, meet with prospects. That's part of the game. Learning how to meet with those prospects and make presentations and handing them the folder and showing them what you do and what your investment process, how you differentiate yourself in that market and what those 12-4-2s look like. So, yeah, it's the whole thing. There's a guy out in Stanford, he wrote a book and part of the most famous quote was, it's not the tyranny of the or, it's the genius of the and. Meaning, you can't do one or the other. You can do both. So you service your clients, rebrand yourself, and bring in new assets. You guys can walk and chew gum at the same time. You're going to, yeah, go ahead.
That should be easy to do.
It's not easy. It's hard work. You know, if you're not complaining about working too hard, then it's not working right. It should be hard. I mean, this is not easy stuff. Everybody says Supernova is simple, but not easy. It's not easy. It's hard. I mean, because you're servicing clients, and nobody services their clients. You're actually doing it, and you should have a lot more confidence because you know you are doing it, and you're not selling, magic, or you're not selling voodoo dust. You're selling real service and your confidence and your enthusiastically endorsed list. Work on that too. Make sure that you've got that. That's worth a lot of money to people. Getting introduced to the right people through you can be incredibly valuable. So what else?
Barry started putting together a list of all of our managers that we want to use, and we're trying to narrow that universe down to make our investment process more streamlined when we get a client. Hopefully, we have a better idea of what we're doing with them, and maybe we get them plugged in and not have to spend a ton of time building new portfolios and having to learn presentations for new managers. Once we have our stable of managers, I think that's going to help all of us with our presentations as well as streamlining our processes. I looked a little bit into doing the intern thing, and talks to some other teams that are doing it. And we're at a point right now where we just need to do it. We know how much that'll cost and all that jazz. I think we all just recently in a meeting, our last meeting, we all submitted to get 5 names put on the chopping block and kind of have a discussion about see if they're people that we want to continue to work with or not. Or maybe reposition to someone else.
We're struggling with getting rid of certain clients, even though we know we're supposed to.
Yeah, hard.
Well, that's where you find, that's where you find the time. A client represents time and money, but the time becomes more important than the money. And that's what you have to decide. Is the money worth the time? And if you are going to be consistently branding yourself, can you keep clients around that you are hiding and not servicing? Because if you're thinking about them as to whether you should get rid of them, my guess, without knowing for sure, my guess is you're not giving them 12-4-2. Would I be correct?
Yeah, I actually even said to my head, I'm not going to give them 12-4-2. No. We're not scared of those people. You're correct.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're doing the worst thing possible for yourself.
We're pitching in the punch bowl with our brand. We're pitching in the punch bowl.
That's right. You're technically lying to yourself. When you lie to yourself, then you don't feel good about yourself. You're saying one thing to your prospects, that this is what we give to every single client. 12-4-2, rapid response, multi-generational planning, and but you're not really doing it, so then you don't feel good, so then you don't do it, and you feel like you're cheating.
So,
but you are.
So in the book, you talked about there are some people where we just can't give away their account, or whatever, to go to help clients.
So we're not really talking about them. We're not really talking about those people, are we?
We're talking about some of them are, yeah. So if we can keep some of those go-to-hell clients, we have to put them on the proper call schedule and treat them like real clients, is what you're saying.
And that will make you not want to do that, you see? And so therefore you're going to make a hard decision.
Okay.
I want you to make a hard decision about every client. Yes, they should get 12-4-2. But I don't want you to get 12-4-2 for somebody that gives you no revenue. Okay? So that would be stupid on everybody's part. So hand them off to some nice person that will take good care of them, and then you won't feel guilty, and everything will be okay.
What about the clients you have? Let's say we have a client... out-of-town clients. I'm going to have to travel more this year.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, Rob, I've got a 4-month-old at home. My wife is in a more demanding job than mine. It's a shitstorm at the Ward household. I mean, it's all good stuff, but it's going crazy right now. So my wife is fine with me. She's actually telling me I should go take a client trip or, get out of town for a day or two because I've been so... domestically challenged lately. But long and short of it, she doesn't want me away 20 weeks out of the year either. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, but that's an extreme.
Okay. But I'm just saying, in terms of, do you think we should have, maybe if we have clients all in New York, do we try to consolidate those relationships in with Barry since he's in New York all the time and he's able to visit them more frequently? That way, I'm from New York, and Larry's from New York, and Barry's from New York.
I think that would make. Do I need to answer that, or is that really a question?
It makes sense, but it also doesn't make sense that people you have the relationship with the people in New Hampshire. If I get thrown into the mix, if I'm the one going to New Hampshire, for argument's sake, I'm completely lost. So,
That wouldn't make sense, but
there's a transition period for doing stuff like that. It can take a while.
Yeah.
You can't just say, hey, this is your new lead person, you know.
But you could do it.
Barry into the mix or bring me into the mix in New Hampshire, but it doesn't, but I don't think I don't think we travel that much anyway.
So Rob, I got a client who's got $1.2 million, who's a very, very close client, who's failing at this point, in terms of mentally, he's kind of on the way out. I know the daughters, you know, like, they love me, blah, 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 but they're basically just going to have $600,000 of that $1.2 million, and, you know, they're not the type of people that I'm going to be able to build a practice on. You know what I mean? Like, one's a retired teacher, and they've got, like, I did a financial plan for them, and the financial plan is to get some money when their dad dies and just live off their pensions. That's their plan, pretty much. And the other one, they make some money, they make good money, but I think there's some irresponsibility and stuff, and I don't know what their full financial picture is, but I'm not incredibly hopeful on that one. How would you suggest we handle this?
Well, technically, if the estate divided doesn't meet your minimum, then they're not really prospects. I would hand that off to somebody else once he passes. I'd make sure that pass went smoothly, and then I'd hand off the daughters in a very kind and generous and helpful way. Okay, it's hard to do that, but it really doesn't come close to meeting your minimum.
Right.
So, that's your answer. In terms of New York, I agree that you need to maintain your primary relationship. And you should go to New York. If Gary wants to stop in and see your client to build a relationship because he's got $12 million, then great. He can stop in and see somebody for half an hour and say hello and introduce himself and maybe they can go off.
I think Rob has a really good suggestion. I don't know if this is where you were going, but I think the idea might be is maybe I just help you with those lines.
Yeah, I mean, the one daughter lives 3 doors down from David, so and you may connect better with them anyway, because they may see me as a young kid still or whatever.
Yeah.
You may be able
to. And they know David, because David's a couple of doors down.
Right, our kids play together. So that might be the way to go, because Arnie's, last time I talked to him, was one of those, like, stream of consciousness conversations that hops around 5 places, and he thinks he talks to me like a normal conversation.
Yeah.
So Rob, let me ask you another question, just to put it bluntly. Right now, in our book, if we have, let's say, 175 households, we may have 50 households that would qualify to be new clients. So in terms of drawing the line, we have a lot of really nice people that have $1 million with us. And before we met you, you know, those are good clients. And they're nice people. And we have, you know, some of these people we've known a very long time. Are you of the mindset that we keep them and service them at the Supernova standard, and then as we get the larger clients, as they fall to the bottom, we transition them lovingly to somebody who will maintain that Supernova standard and get, you know, carry on with us? Is that kind of the idea, to where instead of having 175 households where 50 of them qualify, we have 100 households where, you know, 100 of them qualify, and, you know, if we end up giving away 75 people, and that's kind of what we're trying to get to, correct?
You nailed it. Couldn't have said it better.
Okay,
and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to dump them. You can dump, you know, you can bring in a $10 million client and drop, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 clients, you know. You don't have to do it all at once. But what we're looking at is time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got tons of time, you're good. But if time is an issue, then you have to think about where's the time going to come from. Do you want to have 100 clients or do you want to have 70 clients? The average financial advisor doing Supernova has 70 clients after 2 or 3 or 4 years. And they never get more than this. So that's kind of the goal you all should be headed for. With the idea
we're there now. we're there now.
We just need to hire quality 75.
Right.
Yeah, and the idea is you give away the other ones to other people that are doing Supernova so that the quality of the client experience doesn't change, so they're not disappointed.
Okay.
Nobody expects to be a purist initially, but as you always want to be going towards the pure model.
Keep moving forward.
So we're the only group in our office that's currently doing Supernova, and there's 75 other advisors. I just got a call from a guy from Palm Beach Gardens that's vetting out the program that wants to talk to me or talk to us about it, and he keeps pushing back the appointment to talk to us about it. So he's an executive director in Palm Beach Gardens. The guy's name Tomasco. I don't know him. Anyone we hand off the clients to right now is technically not Supernova. Like, do we just ask them to uphold the 12-4-2 scheduling, essentially, and make sure our clients are getting that experience, and maybe they don't get the folder, or maybe they don't get the whatever, because if they're not, they haven't gone through your program, and, we, for selfish reasons, don't want everyone doing your program, and, we don't want to,
Walk around and teach your
program to other people for free either. You know what I mean? Like, how do we kind of position this?
You don't worry about sharing good ideas because nobody listens, okay? they don't invent it. They don't think it's worth a damn. Okay? So don't worry about it. And go ahead and teach them the full program. Mentor them, take care of them, and then they're going to do you a favor sometime. They're going to refer a huge account to you, they're going to do something nice for you, or they're going to talk nicely about you. Okay, and when the manager thinks of somebody that he wants to refer business to, he's going to think of you guys, because you're generous, helpful, you help around the office, you teach people. Be that team. Be the giving team.
That's actually ready for us.
Yeah, practice giving everywhere, and don't worry about it. Nobody listens, seriously. They're not. If they were that sharp, they'd already signed up for Supernova. Okay. So I had a team down in the south, and they didn't want anybody to know what they're doing. They were down in the New Orleans area, and I finally got them to say, "Stop it, guys! You can't afford this. This is silly." And they're doing great. And other people are doing Supernova and they never run into each other. It's silliness. There's tons of business out there.
All right, my last question, because this is something that's been really getting at me a lot. We talk about time and everything. It's like, the living the perfect day. When do we start that? Do we start that? I feel like none of us are doing that because we're waiting to get to the point where we've earned it or whatever. But in terms of I'm not working out. I am miserable. I am fat.
We're
all driving so hard.
All right, so Ryan, go out. You need to go out. And seriously, if you both are working, you need to have a nanny, okay? You probably have one already, but you need more of one, okay? And so you break even with a nanny in terms of work, whatever. Somebody, you pay way too much, but then you get your life back. so that you both can work and not be going crazy. And that won't last forever. That situation won't be terrible forever, but you really need that. If you don't have that, you got to go get it. Okay.
I have in-laws that are there during the day, but like they check out at 5, like on the dot. So it's like, unless I cut out of work early or, you know.
So you need to get somebody come in for 2 hours from 5 to 7, get dinner ready, take care of the baby, and get things ready for you. Okay?
Yeah, that was that mother's helper that we spoke about. Yeah, Larry was mentioning something like that.
Okay? So that's your job. That's your assignment for this month. Don't talk about it. Just go do it.
We're both in there. I put on 15 pounds, 20 pounds also. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it, guys. You're going to be 70, and when you're 70 and you have 20 pounds on, you have diabetes and heart condition, okay? You don't have it now, but you will. Trust me, all right?
I had to go buy a new suit.
Yeah,
terrible.
So
I call it my fat suit.
Being rich and dead is not good, okay?
Yeah, I'm becoming that fat old financial advisor that I swore I'd never become when I joined the business.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys get into rituals. Remember I taught rituals?
I took the first step. I joined the gym. Now I have to go.
No, don't join the gym. Sign up with a personal trainer. The gym does you no good. You need the contract with a trainer. Just like this.
For me, that's not the way, because for me, I know how to do it, Rob. I lost 90 pounds a couple of years ago. I know how to do it, and the trainers don't work for me because I can never keep getting it.
And there's our line, Rob.
At least I admit it, right?
And the truth finally comes out.
Right. That was perfect. That was perfect. You know what my answer is? Keep the freaking appointments.
You can't, because work in our work comes first, and I know that I can go to the gym. I actually started going last week, and I've gone 3 times already in a week. So I'm going.
I've been hopping on Maribeth. Okay. I bought cycling shoes, and I'm hopping on Maribeth's Peloton bike trying to get some workouts in. And I went to the gun range yesterday and got blew off some steam, so that was exciting, you know.
Alright, you guys, you're running into my next appointment. I love you.
Alright, thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Talk to you next month.
Bye.
Hello?